just rise up. We just lean in, just lean into him right now. Just leaning into his presence. He is the agenda. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. We want to welcome you today. We just roll out the red carpet for your presence today amongst us. We want to welcome you. We honor you today, Holy Spirit. We want to honor you, King Jesus. We honor you, oh gracious, loving Heavenly Father. We honor you today. There's none like you. None like you. Oh, we honor you today, Lord. Come, reveal yourself. Lord, as we were just praying in the room before the service, Lord, come and throne yourself over Oasis Church, Lord, over Whitney today, Lord. Enthrone yourself, Lord. We've offered up our praises to you. Come, find them acceptable. Enthrone yourself today, Lord. We want to welcome you, Lord. We want to welcome you. Lord, it's all for you. All for you, sweet Jesus. All for you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We were just reminded in the prayer room of Acts chapter 2, and it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered in one place, and suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. You know, 2020, we're shifting gears now. We're shifting up a gear. Things are changing. You know, there's a violent, mighty wind of the Spirit that's coming. We're seeing it in the natural today, but there's a greater one coming in the Spirit that is coming upon this land, that is coming upon His church, is coming across this whole earth. We need to be ready. Come, mighty, rushing wind. And in the natural, when a mighty wind comes, you want to take your sails down. But in the spiritual, that's the time you want to raise your sails up. This is the time. Set your sails right now. Adjust the rigging right now. Capture the wind of the Spirit. Things are moving. Things are blowing. And so right now, Lord, we contend in the Spirit for the destiny of Oasis Church. Lord, I'm battling right now in the Spirit for Whitney, Lord. I'm fighting for High Street, Lord. I'm fighting for Corn Street, Lord. Come, mighty rushing wind. Blow, blow. Blow on the Methodist Church, Lord. Blow on St. Mary's Church. Blow on COGS, Lord. Blow, mighty rushing wind. On the community church and every other place that I haven't mentioned, Lord. Blow, mighty rushing wind. Mighty rushing wind. And it said it filled the house. Lord, fill your house. Lord, we know there's a shift that's happened. There's a shift that we're just starting to step into, Lord. And we see these things happening even in the natural. There's a shift of decades, Lord. There's a shift of the political arena over Great Britain, Lord. There's shifts that are happening, Lord. And we know that these are just a reflection of the bigger and the greater shift that is already taking place in the spiritual, Lord. And the natural is just compelled to respond to what is happening unseen in the spiritual realm, Lord. Come, mighty rushing wind, fill your house. Fill your house today, Lord. Oh God, it breaks my heart for people to come into your house and they can't find you. Oh God. Let every house that is your house be a house that is filled with your presence, God. Let it be filled, Lord. We contend today. We contend. I'm contending for Oasis Church. I'm contending for each person in this congregation today. I'm contending for this city, Lord. I'm contending, Lord. Come, mighty rushing wind. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify your name in all the earth. Glorify your name. Glorify your name. Glorify your name in all the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So on Tuesday, there was a video call with all the Catch the Fire leaders and pastors, and John Arnott, I think you all know who that is, he was on the call, and he was sharing this testimony about how they were just in Mexico, and how the Spirit of the Lord broke out in the service. Do you remember that, Graham? Powerful testimony. People being taken into heaven, visions, encounters happening, and lots of people in the congregation simultaneously. And we know that this revival is already starting. It's already moving. There's testimonies coming in on a regular basis. These are like the birth pains that are coming upon it now. And I'm waiting for the testimony of, did you hear what happened in Whitney? Did you hear? Did you hear how the Lord moved? Did you hear what God did? Did you hear how he's changed his people? Did you hear how they're walking, healing people in the marketplaces, in Sainsbury's and Waitrose? People coming for physical food and receiving spiritual food instead. Because my Jesus says, drink of my water, and I will make you a fountain that flows. You know, last time we were here, we were sharing this amazing revelation of the coin, and I just feel so compelled in my heart that we have to be thinking about revival differently. We have to be thinking about this, that God has already released the fullness of everything that he is to us. Be a carrier of that. Be a carrier of everything that he is. And he just gave us this picture, this object, this symbol to remind us, because I need reminding all the time. He's given me the best of who he is. Multiply, multiply. Multiply that. So we're asking you to actually pray for us, because Saturday next week, we're doing the conference again, now in Basel. And we're contending for the salvation of Basel. We're contending for breakthrough in Switzerland. We're contending for this. And we've got a whole intercessory team of people all around, all over the place, many different countries. And they're praying and they're pressing in. And I'm asking you, will you join us and press in together for the salvation of Basel? For breakthrough. Europe needs breakthrough. Not a little breakthrough, a lot of breakthrough. But my God is bigger. My God is better. My God is greater. And he's given us this little piece. But we want to multiply that. So pray for us. Hallelujah. So I didn't know I was going to be speaking today until yesterday afternoon. But I sought the Lord, and he took me to a few scripture verses, which I'd like to open up to that. You can have a look in Luke 10, 27, and 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians. And I want to be building upon what's been started with this coin. And on one side of it is this word love, if you remember. And 1 Corinthians actually gives us this almost like a thesis on the use of spiritual gifts. And it goes through a whole bunch of chapters, starting, I guess, back at 12, all the way through 13, 14, through the end of 14. And in the middle of this is a very, very famous chapter, chapter 13. Now, how many of you had this read out at your wedding? Right. I mean, most weddings have had this, but it's not talking about marriage. It's talking about the use of spiritual gifts. And let's just have a quick look at that. And he says, "Yet I will show you the most excellent way." How many of you want the excellent way? "If I speak of tongues of men and of angels but don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, give my body over to hardship that I may boast, but I do not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in the evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always always perseveres, and love never fails." You know, Graham this morning was encouraging us to step out of our comfort zone. And we need to be doing this. And this is a key time period within the kingdom of God where we need to be stepping out of our comfort zone. Because it's in the comfort zone that callings and destinies get mired in the quicksand of comfort. The comfort zone will rob you of the destiny that God has planned for you. And we got to step out of our comfort zone. And it doesn't mean it's easy. It means it's necessary. And this is the season to be doing this. This is the season right now to be practicing this, to be developing this. Because I am 100% convinced that God has released already the fullness of who he is. The issue is not on God's part. The issue is about us stepping up into the place that we are supposed to have already been generations ago. And there's this conflicting force of the comfort zone that will always be trying to pull you back into a place of vague ambiguity, when God has called us to be a clarion call of his truth and righteousness. He's called us to be a shining light on top of a mountain. And I want to encourage you this. But it says here, if we skip to the beginning of 14, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. But I want you to notice this statement at the beginning. It says, follow the way of love. You know, I think of that, the way. It's like a pathway. It's a roadway. And the road that we have to be traveling upon, stepping out into the things of the Spirit, is a roadway that is paved in love. How many of you want to be stepping out into things of the Spirit? There's a number of you. You know, over the years, I've had many, many people come to me and ask me questions like, you know, how do I start operating in the things that you've got? You know, how can I see the visions? How can I encounter God in these things? And they want an instant answer. They want a prayer of impartation, and they want God to do it all, and they don't realize that you have to lay the bricks of the pathway of love. Because that's how God knows he can trust you. That's how he knows he can increase the power level, is when actually you don't care about that, because your most important thing is you're caring about loving him. There's people, they want to be up on stage, they want fame and glory and whatever. I can tell you it's not like that. Because, you see, when we're not operating out of a love-first position, then our gifting, whatever it may be, is going to get pulled into pride. It's going to get pulled into envy. It's going to get pulled into boastfulness. It's going to get distracted and pushed away and sidelined by all of these things, because that's a sinful nature that we're battling against. And the devil will be happy to throw all this stuff in your pathway just to make it a little easier for you. But there's a way of love. There's a pathway of love. And that your love for God, as it says in Luke there that we quoted earlier, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and then love your neighbor. Whatever your gifting is, your gifting is a pathway. Your gifting is a doorway into loving God more. Because all the spiritual gifts is just God taking a piece of who he is and letting you hold it, letting you carry it in your pocket to multiply who he is. This is why he wants your love, your capacity to love, always needs to be greater than your capacity of your gifting. That's how it stays in balance. And when your gifting starts to go ahead of your love capacity, it starts to get out of balance, and it's just a matter of time before that trips you up. You're always, so when you're asking God, and it tells us there in chapter 14, ask God, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And this is a time to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. But you want to be doing that in the capacity of love. So when you're saying, Lord, increase my gifting, pray twice, Lord, increase my love. because it's the pathway of love that will give you the strength and the character to carry what he's calling you to bring. And when those get out of balance, when those get out of whack, it can spiral out of control very quickly. Character. Character is important. So I want you just to think in your mind, what is it the gifts? What are the gifts that you're carrying? You should know. List some of them out in your mind right now. That gift is a doorway and a pathway for you to love God greater. Somehow in that, because he's giving you a piece of himself and he is love. It's also a doorway and a pathway to love somebody else. I know a number of years ago, I was at... We had just started at this little Pentecostal church in Canada. And the pastor knew that I had had a background in art and design. And so he asked me to be on a committee to help them redesign their logo and come up with a new vision statement thing. And so this small group of us met every 2 weeks. And this went on for months and months and months and months and months. And someone would call us up and say, I think we need a comma. I'm concerned, but we need a comma. Let's have another meeting. And someone would say, we're 6 months, 8 months, 8 months into trying to craft one sentence. One sentence. And someone would say, I think we need a period. I'm not sure. Maybe it should be a semicolon. We got to meet again. And this one day, we get called up again. And at some point along this journey, I was realizing, well, you can say whatever you want, but if you don't have the backbone to back it up and to make changes, it doesn't matter what it says. And I'm driving to this meeting again. And I say to the Lord, Lord, I don't even know why I'm going to this. And he said, oh, I can tell you why you're going. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, it doesn't have anything to do with the vision statement. He says, there's this lady, Renee, she's coming to the meeting today, and she's hurting. She's discouraged right now. I'm like, oh, I didn't know. Because I knew her, but I didn't really know her that well. And I had this vision while I'm driving, which I don't recommend. And I saw this mountain. And this mountain just seemed impossibly large. The height and the scale of this mountain, it was discouraging because it was so big. And I see her standing at the base of this mountain, and there's this pathway that's going up and up and up and up, and it just seems so long. And along that pathway was scattered various things. Tires for her car. New brakes for her car. Furniture for her house. Clothing for her kids. And there was just all these things that she needed, and they were just along this pathway, and it just seemed so long. I thought, whoa, wow, I didn't know. And so I get to the meeting. She wasn't there. And we sit down, and we're going through this whole thing again. And at some point, she bustles into this thing. She's running late, and she comes into the room. And she's just dressed all to the nines, very fancy. She was always very put together. And she's all smiles, and she's happy, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry I'm late, everybody. Da-da-da-da-da. Here I am. Let's get started. And what I'm seeing with my eyes is the complete opposite to what I'd heard in the car driving here. Total opposite. Couldn't be more opposite. You know, she was all smiles. And how you doing? Oh, I'm fabulous. Fabulous. I'm just praising the Lord. And I'm sitting there wondering, okay, well, what should I believe? Should I believe what my eyes are seeing, or do I need to believe what I feel the Lord was saying to me on the car in here? And at the end of the meeting, which didn't accomplish much, but now I had a different assignment. And I said, oh, hey, Renee, can you wait a minute? And everyone says, oh, Franklin's got a word again. And she's sitting there all smiles. Hey, oh, what is it? And I said, you know, I know when I asked you earlier how you were doing and you said you were doing really great. I said, I got to tell you, on driving here, I just really felt the Lord speak to me that you weren't actually doing so great. And her face just fell. And I said, I don't know if this means something to you, but I had this picture coming here, and I described the whole thing with the mountain and the road and the stuff along the road. And I'm starting to talk about this, and her face starts going pale. And about halfway through, she starts crying. Tears are coming down. And I reached out, and I held her hand, and I finished the story. And by the end of it, she's just sobbing. And when she pulled herself together, I said, "What? You know, tell me, what's going on?" She says, "You just quoted the dream I had from two nights earlier." She said, "I saw that mountain. I saw that pathway. I saw everything that you saw on that pathway in the same order that you saw it." And she said, "I need new cars. I need new tires for my car. I need new furniture for my house. I need new clothes for my kids." And she said, "I came out of that dream, and I was so discouraged, and I cried out to the Lord, 'Do you even hear me?'" And I was able to hug her and say, "Now you know He hears you." I don't know if that encounter got her the tires for her car, but she knew that God heard. You can't deny an experience like that. When someone comes to you, like, he didn't tell me that this was her dream. I didn't know, right? Then you know. But you see, in the spirit, how things work is the opposite to how things work in the natural. You see, in the natural, we got to say, "I'll see it first, then I'll believe it." But in the spirit, we have to know that we are now new creatures, new creation, part of a new kingdom that says, "Believe it first, then you'll see it." And you see, God does these things. And this is why we need to be able to hear His voice. This is why we need to have this capacity to be operating in spiritual gifts so that someone who needs new tires for their car, who's not sure if God is hearing them, can know. And when something comes like that, it gives you a landing strip of love for faith to come and land that plane on there and says, "Okay, the Lord has heard my prayer. Now I'm going to pray in those tires. I'm going to pray in those brake pads. I'm going to pray in that furniture, the clothes for my kids. The Lord has heard me." This is the heart of any and every spiritual gift. That we can lay these bricks of the love of God. Firstly, so that this revival takes grip in my own life so that I can love Him. I'm convinced that the most important part of spiritual gifts is that so you have a tool to love Him better and greater and more thoroughly than you could without it. Listen, it's got to take a hold in your own life. And if once you're in this place of loving Him with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, you know, and there's no upper limit to that, but it's a pathway that we've got to be walking down. From that place, you can love your neighbor through your gifting. It's a tool. It's Him giving a piece of Himself that you can hold in your pocket to know that He's given me a way to love Him and to love somebody else greater. That's why we got to follow the way of love, the most excellent way. Then He can trust you. Like Graham said this morning. I mean, Graham gave us a whole sermon this morning. It's no longer me that lives, but He lives in me. Then it comes to that place where holding this to yourself becomes selfishness. It is the epitome of selfishness to be holding good news and not share it. It's selfishness to be holding healing in your hands and not share it. It's selfishness to be holding blessings in your hand and not share it. That's the way of love. He's not asking you to give away what you don't have. He's asking you to multiply what He's given you. Multiply, multiply, multiply. I want to share something else with you just as I'm closing up. So in our city in Basel, we have a house of prayer. And I've been really starting to try and go there on a regular basis, just to seek the Lord and to be in His presence. And there's just a phenomenal spiritual atmosphere over this place. It's just been soaked and saturated in a lot of prayer. And our worship leader, Grace, plays there on Thursdays. And so I was there just a few weeks ago. And the Lord just took me into a worship song. And I'm just wondering, Graham, if you could cue that up. The Reckless Love. Do you know this one, Reckless Love? I think it might be a Bethel song. It says in the chorus, it says, "Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chased me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God." And He took me into that song. I don't know if you've ever had the Lord do that for you. How many of you have had an encounter with the love of God? You know, it's interesting. You can know God's love before that encounter, but in the encounter, he changes everything. And the words may be the same before and after it, but the experience is completely different. Because you can't explain love. Explaining it reduces it somehow. It's something to be experienced. You've got to encounter this. Graham was telling me on our drive from London down to his place that you guys have an encounter. Is it Tuesday? The encounter thing. And he was telling me about how he's trying to encourage you all to come out of not just prayer, but add to this encountering God. It's a different thing. And for those of you who've had an encounter with God's love, you can understand that there's a knowledge of his love, and then there's an experience of his love. And they're both good, but they're different things. And you know, I was thinking about, really, this is the center of what happened in the revival that started over 25 years ago in Toronto. People encountered God's love. A lot of these things were pastors from your country, vicars and priests, plane loads of them were flying to Toronto in the middle of winter. You know, they'd been ministers for 30, 40, 50 years, many of them. And they were burnt out. They were exhausted, bitter, angry, ready to quit. And they had spent this 50 years talking about out of a place of knowledge about the love of God, but they hadn't experienced it. And someone walked up to them and said, there's something going on in Toronto. And they're like, what country is Toronto in? I don't even know. And they said, you got to go there. You got to get there. And they're like, I don't want to go there because they're mad at God. And that person buys them a ticket. And somehow they find themselves on a plane in the middle of the Canadian winter. And they come to some place that they don't know. And they walked through the door and they had an encounter with God's love. But not just his love, it was the reckless love of God. You see, there's an overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And he chased them down. And he caught up with them. And you see, they discovered there's a love that you can never earn. A love that you don't deserve. A love that you couldn't repay. A love that you couldn't buy. And there's an ocean of love that crashed into them over and over again. A love so big that you could only describe it as overwhelming. You know, I don't know if you can cast your mind back to the time that you first discovered that you'd fallen in love. Your knees get a little weak. Your stomach gets a little funny feeling. And there's a physical reaction to this. And that's just earthly love. And so when you encounter this never-ending love, of course you have a physical reaction to it. And some people fell to the floor and shook and cried and laughed. Because these people didn't just discover a way in a manger Jesus. The cartoon Jesus of the Sunday school little sheets that you fill in. Or a historical Jesus full of dusty theology and textbooks. They encountered the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. This is a love that's so powerful it destroys you and remakes you in a moment. And in the encounter of that love, he shows you how far away from him you really are. But at the same time, how close he is to you. And somehow he shows these at the same time. It's a love that will bring you to your knees. It will leave you breathless, speechless, and all your fancy theology will drain right out of you as you learn that you were the one he left the 99 for. When for 50 years of theology, you felt it was someone else he left the 99 for. And in the encounter, you discover he's talking to you. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. You're still the one. You're still the one. You're still the one. People would be so overcome by this that it would be like a rolling encounter, that unfolding experience of meeting with Christ, and often for the first time in their life, their whole body would just go to jello, unable to stand or walk for hours, or in some cases, days at a time. It's like you were thirsty and you asked for a drink, but you received Niagara Falls. You see, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, it brings you to a place of deep repentance. Not a repentance that comes from man, bred out of guilt or shame, but a repentance that comes from recognizing, I don't deserve it. A repentance that comes from seeing for the first time, I couldn't earn it. And you get confronted by the realization that even after 50 years of serving God, pastoring churches, you're still so, so far away from him. That in that moment, you get to see the reality of your spiritual condition. There's a veil that gets removed. And the truth of revelation hits you, and you discover that he wasn't talking about the church down the road or from some other denomination. He was talking about you. In the encountering of this overwhelming love that strips away all the religious garbage, reveals your nakedness and poverty, seeing the truth of actually how far away from God we are and how blind we have been to our own spiritual bankruptcy, in the midst of that, there's no shadow he won't light up. No mountain he won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall he won't kick down. No lie he won't tear down coming after me. Who is my Jesus? He's the overwhelming, never ending. He is the reckless love of God. I love him through my gifting. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that he would take me into his presence. I don't deserve it. I couldn't earn it. The reckless love of God. The reckless, reckless, reckless love of God. Graham, I'm just wondering if we could play that song.
You were own climb of coming after me. Snow wall you won't kick down, lie you won't stay. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no moon you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't.
Let's just stand up to our feet for a second. What's the wall that the Lord's got to kick down in your life right now? For some of you, this may be a wall of fear. So we just kick down that wall of fear right now. What is your wall that the Lord needs to kick down? Shout it out. For some of you, it's bad theology. Compromise. Inhibition. So, Lord, we just ask you right now, kick down this wall. Kick it down, kick it down, kick it down. Doubt. So we kick down the wall of doubt right now. We kick down the wall of fear right now. We kick down the wall of inhibition, compromise right now. Unworthy. Oof. We kick down that wall of unworthiness right now. Complacency, yes. Frustration, wow. Inadequacy. Lord, I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. You're chasing me down. Fight till I'm found. Leave the 99. Lord, behind this wall is the one. I'm the one. Come find me. Lord, today I confess I am the one sheep. Lord, there's walls around my life that I don't have the tools for. I don't have the equipment to break them down. And so I'm asking for your reckless love. And Lord, in these times when I can't find you, I'm asking you to come find me. Not because I've earned it, I can't earn it. Not because I deserve it, I can never deserve it. I'm asking this because you're good. And I'm, Lord, right now, I'm asking that you activate reckless love inside of me. Lord, I'm asking that this one-way thing is going to turn into a two-way thing. Because if you can give yourself away to me, I want to be able to give myself away to you. And other people too. Lord, I want to hit new maximums of my love for you. And Lord, I want to shift out of this place where you're having to come to a mountaintop to find me, that we can walk up to the mountaintop together, hand in hand. And Lord, I want to come to this place where I need a drink, to come to this place where the living water flows out of me like a fountain, Lord, like a fountain. Lord, that song says you got a never-ending, overwhelming, reckless love. Lord, I want some of that never-ending, Lord. I want to float down that river. I know some of you have relatives, you have friends, work colleagues, acquaintances, who are that one sheep, but they don't know it yet. There's something I love about this song because it comes with an attitude. The fights till I'm found attitude. The kick the walls down attitude. To climb the mountains attitude. And there's a place where the sheep doesn't know that it's lost, but the shepherd is going out to find it. And he's on a mission. And I just want to proclaim this song right now over people that you know who are lost. So let's shout out some names of some people who don't know that they're that one sheep. Let me hear some names. Let's call it out. Okay, who else? Debbie. Robin and Robin. Who? Stephen. Catherine. Gail. Dave. Andy. Hallelujah. Emma. Anna, thank you, Lord. Tony, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so I'm going to turn this chorus now into declaration over all of these people that we've just mentioned. And what I'd like you to, I want you to agree with me in this. And I want you to take their names and hold them in your hand. And we're going to speak this over them. So over Dave and Tony and Alice and everyone that was mentioned right now, hear this. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, it will chase you down. It will fight till you're found. He will leave the 99, not because you earned it, not because you deserved it. It's because he's giving himself away. Oh, the never-ending, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God will chase you down until you're found. I just want to proclaim over all of these people right now that he's kicking the walls of separation down over their life right now. We just declare walls of unbelief to break down right now. We want to proclaim addiction, selfishness, pride breaking down right now. You know, some of these people are standing on a mountaintop of pride, self-centeredness, living their own life, rebellion against God. Right now, he's climbing that mountain to take their hand right now. And Lord, I pray that the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God will crash over them like a wave, and the veil will be lifted, and their separation from you will be revealed. And in that moment when they discover how far away from you they are, they will see how close you are to them. And we agree with this together. And we say, amen. Amen. Amen.